Good morning and welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily strategic briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. It is Friday, December 19th, 2025. We are closing out the week with a massive validation of the consumer AI market. New data shows that ChatGPT has crossed $3 billion in mobile consumer spending. For context, that puts it in the rarefied air of top-tier gaming apps and streaming services. The question of will consumers pay for AI has been answered with a resounding yes. But while the cash flows, the trade war grows. The U.S. government has launched a formal review of NVIDIA's H200 chip sales to China, signaling that the chip curtain is being drawn tighter as we head into 2026. Speaking of 2026, we have leaked roadmaps from Meta featuring new models named Mango and Avocado, and a bold claim from Elon Musk that XAI could hit AGI within 2 years, if they can survive the capital burn. From vibe coding unicorns to Angular V21, we have a packed technical rundown. But before we dive into today's strategic briefing, stop marketing to the masses, start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI Unraveled, zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now, leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored, proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen strategic intelligence directly to the decision makers. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Let's unravel the headlines.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are unpacking a really chaotic but thrilling moment in tech history, December 2025.
Right.
This is the moment when the AI industry, you know, definitively stopped talking about potential and started delivering on three very different, very high-stakes battlefronts.
We're talking monetization speed, massive corporate shifts, and of course, geopolitics.
Exactly.
We've looked through your stack of sources on this, and what just jumps out is the sheer acceleration. We are moving from promises to, well, actual revenue, from research papers to global policy.
So our mission today is to give you a complete shortcut to understanding this whole transformation.
Yeah.
We're going to cover the stunning commercial success of consumer AI, the fundamental strategic reboot inside a major player like Meta, which, you know, includes a high-profile talent raid and a super ambitious new model roadmap.
And then the crucial geopolitical challenges, things like the U.S. government's huge Genesis mission and the ongoing war over digital authenticity.
The objective is simple: to grasp how quickly AI became integrated into statecraft, massive enterprise strategy, and even physical reality, all within a few compressed months.
It's the moment the AI arms race just went vertical, and we need to understand the architecture of that climb.
Okay, let's start with the money. I mean, we have to unpack this $3 billion bombshell.
Right.
We're talking about OpenAI's ChatGPT mobile app hitting $3 billion in global consumer spending. That number is staggering on its own.
But the truly significant finding here is the velocity, the sheer speed.
Yeah.
The pace of monetization completely rewrites the benchmark for consumer tech. I mean, ChatGPT reached that $3 billion milestone in just 31 months.
31 months. Since its iOS launch back in May of 2023.
Right.
It's not just fast adoption.
No, it's a paradigm shift in how quickly a digital utility can translate, you know, curiosity into cash.
And when you stack that against the historical giants, it's unbelievable. Our sources show TikTok took 58 months.
Nearly 5 years.
Almost 5 years. Disney Plus took 42 months. And HBO Max took 46. ChatGPT basically did it twice as fast as the old leaders.
And that pace is only accelerating. This is the crucial part. The sources note that 2.48 billion of that total happened in 2025 alone.
Wow.
So that's a 408% year-over-year increase from 2024. This confirms AI isn't a novelty anymore. It's becoming a daily monetizable habit for people.
So if the volume is that high, let's talk about the business model. How is the money actually flowing? It really solidifies this idea of AI as a premium utility, doesn't it?
It does, and it reveals a lot about who the power users are. The revenue primarily flows through these really clear subscription tiers.
You have the standard $20 a month ChatGPT Plus.
Right, but also the much pricier $200 a month ChatGPT Pro tier for advanced users. That Pro tier specifically tells a story.
What story is that?
It says that for high volume users, AI is shifting from a luxury app to a mandatory cost of doing business. I mean, if you're willing to pay $2,400 a year for access,
you're baking it into your workflow.
You're integrating it into mission-critical workflow. Coding, advanced analysis, content generation. It stops being a fun toy and becomes necessary infrastructure.
And the sources also point out that competitors, like xAI's Grok, are seeing similar growth when you line them up from when they started charging.
Exactly. So this proves the subscription model works not just for OpenAI, but for the whole frontier AI category.
And now OpenAI is leveraging that success to try and become like the underlying operating system for commerce.
Right.
We saw them launch their app directory. Basically, an app store letting developers integrate tools like Canva, Spotify, Zillow, right into a chat.
They are absolutely moving toward a full ecosystem. Think iOS or Android, but for AI. But they're looking beyond just the monthly subscription.
What's the next step?
Well, internal plans show they're exploring digital goods, but the real strategic goal is commerce. They expect a substantial 20% of their future revenue to come from shopping and advertising.
Like personal shopping assistants.
Exactly. Commission-based personal shopping assistants. The chat interface is rapidly becoming the next primary platform for direct commercial transactions.
That desire to build the next platform, it requires serious horsepower and a serious corporate strategy. And nobody is strategizing harder right now than Meta. The news around their massive talent acquisition and the creation of their superintelligence labs is a key strategic marker for 2026.
It's a textbook power move, and it's all centered around data expertise. They got Alexander Wang,
the co-founder and former CEO of Scale AI.
Right, and Scale AI is, you know, famous for providing that specialized, high-quality data labeling you need to train these massive frontier models.
And Wang is a huge figure, the world's youngest self-made billionaire at age 24 back in 2021.
Yeah.
He left his own company to become Meta's chief AI officer.
And that move happened right after Meta's massive $14.3 billion investment for a 49% stake in Scale AI.
So it wasn't just about the money.
No, it was about locking in the proprietary data feedback loops and the expertise that Wang represents. He now leads the Meta Superintelligence Labs, unifying everything, research, infrastructure, product, to accelerate superintelligent systems.
And their architectural roadmap for 2026 really reflects this ambition. They aren't just building one huge general model.
No, they're focusing on two specialized frontier models, Mango and Avocado.
So a specialized system, not an all-in-one generalist.
Precisely. Mango is their multimodal system, slated for a debut in the first half of 2026. It's all about high-fidelity image generation and long-form video.
So the Mango's focused on continuity and cinematic quality. Is Meta basically building a super-controlled, proprietary version of something like OpenAI Sora?
In essence, yes, but with a deeper focus on realism. The aha moment here is their push for what they call world models.
Okay, explain that for our listeners.
So a standard model generates pixels based on patterns it's seen. A world model tries to understand the actual rules of reality like digital gravity, material properties, object permanence.
Ah, so that's how they ensure cinematic quality and identity coherence across shot changes. It solves those janky visual problems we see in early video models.
Exactly. So Mango builds the realistic, continuous digital world.
And Avocado is the brain that uses that world.
Avocado is optimized as the agentic stack. Think of the agentic stack as the AI's planning and execution layer.
So it's a text-based engine for coding, multi-step tasks.
And tool orchestration. Avocado is the central nervous system that chains all the other models together. It handles the high-level planning, telling Mango when to generate visuals, or telling another tool how to book a flight.
That kind of strategy, building two specialized models and an agentic stack, requires a huge physical foundation. What kind of hardware are they mobilizing?
This is where the scale of their commitment becomes clear. Meta is targeting an installed base of about 350,000 NVIDIA H100s,
wow,
which is roughly 600,000 H100 equivalents across their entire fleet. That is the monumental scale you need to train and run these frontier models globally.
But, you know, despite this huge multi-billion dollar commitment, our sources are noting some serious internal friction.
The human element, it always surfaces, even at this scale.
It does. Reports say Alexander Wang has privately complained that Mark Zuckerberg's micromanagement of the AI effort is suffocating.
and slowing down progress.
Right.
I mean, if the world's youngest self-made billionaire feels suffocated, what does that tell you about the cultural difficulty of running an AI arms race inside a massive established social media company?
It raises a major strategic question, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Can a pursuit of truly advanced AI succeed when its leadership structure is experiencing that kind of centralized tension? It's a risk baked right into their investment.
And that tension is a critical reminder that AI leadership isn't just a corporate issue, it's a national one. The scale we're talking about inevitably brings us to geopolitics.
Right. AI isn't just a corporate battle anymore, it's a tool of statecraft. And we have the Genesis mission and the ongoing drama with NVIDIA's chips, which perfectly illustrate this new reality.
The Genesis mission is basically the AI equivalent of the Manhattan Project. It was driven by a November executive order.
The U.S. government is building a unified AI platform for science, energy, and national security, a massive public-private collaboration.
And this is not some small government contract. This is a unifying effort led by the Department of Energy, which manages the national labs, and it involves what our sources aptly called the Avengers roster of American AI.
It's an unprecedented collaboration. 24 organizations have signed on,
uniting 17 national labs with 40,000 government researchers. And the list includes fierce commercial rivals. You've got OpenAI, Google DeepMind, Microsoft, AWS, Anthropic, NVIDIA, xAI, all working toward a common goal.
So what are the key focus areas here beyond just the general idea of national security?
They are leveraging AI to accelerate everything. Experiment design, simulations, predictive models in areas critical to national competitiveness.
So we're talking about nuclear energy.
Specifically fusion and fission. Also quantum computing, advanced manufacturing, and of course, ensuring the reliability of the U.S. nuclear stockpile. The goal is simple but monumental.
Which is?
To double the productivity of American science and engineering within a decade using this AI infrastructure.
But to achieve that, they need chips. And that brings us inevitably back to NVIDIA and the geopolitical tightrope they're walking with hardware exports.
Indeed. This is where politics and billions of dollars in revenue intersect very sharply. The Trump administration launched a formal review of allowing NVIDIA to sell its H200 chips to China.
The H200 being their second most powerful model.
Exactly.
So wait, the U.S. is considering allowing China access to a highly advanced chip, but there's a catch.
That's the core of the strategy. Analysts are calling it transactional containment. The U.S. goal is twofold. Maintain control over the tech while also generating revenue and keeping China reliant on U.S. chips.
So they don't invest as heavily in building their own semiconductor industry.
Right. The argument is, if we offer them the H200, which is incredibly powerful, like 6 times more potent than previously restricted models, it reduces the incentive for Chinese firms to spend billions trying to catch up.
It slows their indigenous growth by offering a powerful yet still restricted alternative.
And the financial lever that makes it all transactional is a proposed 25% fee paid directly to the U.S. government on all H200 sales into China.
That is a massive potential revenue stream that completely reshapes the geopolitical calculus. What are the projections if this goes through?
Analysts estimate this policy could unlock a staggering $25 to $30 billion in annual revenue for NVIDIA.
It's no wonder analysts rate them a strong buy then.
Exactly. With a price target around $258, partially fueled by the optimism around this enormous potential market reopening.
Okay, so moving from the digital and geopolitical to the truly physical, let's talk about AI moving beyond the screen and into, well, physical reality. Figure AI is just dominating the headlines in embodied AI.
Absolutely. Figure AI closed late 2025 with a monumental $1 billion funding round, hitting a $39 billion valuation.
And the CEO, Brett Adcock, has been extremely vocal.
Yeah.
He's claiming Figure AI has a 1 to 2 year lead globally in humanoid robotics.
And he's making some extremely bold near-term predictions. He's forecasting that the company will achieve speech-controlled, general-purpose robots.
Robots capable of working in unseen environments, like a home or a factory it's never been programmed for?
By next year. By 2026.
Wow.
And he's able to back that claim by making this fascinating distinction between the physical and the digital challenge. Adcock says the hardware, the actuators and motors, are already capable of operating at more than 5 times their current speed.
So the bottleneck is the software.
Purely the software. Specifically their Helix neural network, which he says is holding them back from surpassing human speeds.
And this isn't just some lab demo either. They've been running robots on the BMW X3 body shop production line.
10 hours a day for 5 months? That's serious extended industrial testing, not just a slick demonstration video.
It really highlights the speed and the competitive pressure in this sector.
And the sector is getting highly dramatic. Adcock generated headlines with these public allegations that a competitor, Ubitech Robotics, their mass production videos were CGI and fake robots.
Coof.
Yeah. This aggressive, sometimes combative behavior just highlights the desperate race to prove who's building real systems that work in the real world versus who's building vaporware.
That emphasis on real systems and trust brings us directly to our final point, the race for digital authenticity.
Yes.
As models like Meta's Mango and OpenAI's Sora generate increasingly realistic content, how do we trust what we're seeing?
This is a crucial defense mechanism for the digital world. What we're seeing is companies building walled gardens of trust. For example, Google's Gemini chatbot can now detect whether an uploaded video was generated using Google's own AI tool.
That Veo or Nano Banana Pro.
Right.
So how does that detection work without relying on metadata that you can just, you know, easily strip out?
It relies on their proprietary SynthID watermark. It's an imperceptible, unique digital signature embedded directly into both the audio and the visual data when the content is generated.
So you can upload a video and just ask Gemini, was this AI?
And it will look for that mark. It can even specify if the watermark was only found in the audio or the video data within certain timestamps.
But the critical limitation is that it can't detect content created by rivals, right? Like Sora or Mango.
Exactly. If you use a Google tool, Google can verify it. If you use a competitor's tool, they can't.
That is the danger of the walled garden. We have companies trying to solve the authenticity problem, but only for their own backyard.
This is why so many companies are pushing for universal standards, like C2PA metadata.
So wait, C2PA isn't just a watermark. It's fundamentally different from SynthID because it's a metadata standard. Why is that better?
Because it creates a digital receipt. C2PA metadata acts as a tamper-resistant record that travels with the file no matter where it goes. It tells you the origin, the date, what changes were made.
Whereas a proprietary watermark is only detectable by the platform that put it there.
Correct. C2PA is designed to be platform agnostic, making it a foundation for system-wide trust, not just internal verification. But for now, trust remains proprietary, which is a huge challenge for the open web.
So what does this massive high-speed shift in December 2025 boil down to for you, the listener? We've seen AI become a hyper-monetizable consumer product that's faster to grow than TikTok.
A national strategic asset through the Genesis mission.
And a physically embodied technology through Figure AI.
The core takeaway is this radical acceleration in scale alongside specialization. Adoption and investment are skyrocketing, but the industry is grappling with these fundamental questions of control, like Zuckerberg's micromanagement of Wang and Trust, which we see with the limitations of watermarking.
AI is now vital infrastructure, but the rules of engagement, both corporate and geopolitical, are still being written in real time.
Right.
You know, if we connect this back to the bigger picture, it feels like the true battle isn't just a chip race for the most H100s. It's the battle for the agentic operating system.
Explain that.
The moment AI moves from being a standalone chatbot to being the central hub that manages our entire digital and physical lives.
It absolutely is. The question isn't just who has the most compute, but who builds the fundamental reality layer that governs all AI interaction and execution.
And when you look at Meta's strategy building, the detailed physical world models with Mango and the centralized agentic stack with Avocado.
They're designed not just to answer questions, but to plan and execute complex tasks using other models and tools.
Exactly. So what does it mean for you if the new digital reality where AI agents manage your commerce, your information, and eventually control the humanoids in your factory or home is owned by the one company that wins the agentic OS war?
That ownership is the new strategic high ground.
That wraps up your strategic briefing for December 19th. The signal for today is validation. Validation for OpenAI, with $3 billion in mobile spend proving the business model. Validation for the no-code / vibe code movement, with Lovable hitting a $6.6 billion valuation. And validation for the open ecosystem, with Mistral's OCR3 and Angular V21 giving developers powerful new tools to build independent of the giants. A quick note for my technical listeners. Take a look at GPT-5.2-Codex. If the reports on its cybersecurity capabilities are true, this might be the patch we need for the lazy AI code generation we discussed yesterday. Before you head into the weekend, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. If you want to position your brand as the authority in 2026, let's build something together. Secure your strategic podcast consultation at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Keep building, stay strategic, and I'll see you on Monday.